Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus laments on his Palm Sunday ride into Jerusalem, because days will come upon you when your enemies will lay siege around your walls and will surround you and will restrain you from every direction. And they will raise you and your children along with you to the ground. And they will not leave in place a stone upon a stone along with you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. You did not know the time of your visitation. In today's usage, the words visitation or visitor imply that someone is stopping by for some purpose, but they are not staying. One might visit to say hello, to check up on the one who receives the visitor, to have dinner or to celebrate some event, but no matter the purpose, soon the visitor will be gone. Now, this is not quite what Jesus means when he says visitation. This visitation is when one comes at the sending of someone greater to oversee the people sent to. The person is sent to on behalf of the greater person. The word here is episkopos in the original text. There you hear the root word of episcopal, which is also used in the Bible for bishop or overseer. We really mean that this is another word for pastor. The person who holds the office of overseer, as visitor implies, or visitation implies, he comes from outside of us. He may or may not be here forever, and he comes to oversee us on behalf of God. I have taken stock in recent weeks of our visitations here at Emmanuel, which means I've looked at our pastors and their history, because I wrote for and presented on two topics at a Lutheran pastors' conference this past week in Racine, Wisconsin. Two topics: one, how we host vicars; two, how we teach and encourage the singing of our Lutheran hymns in our congregation. Now, the credit belongs to you and to our previous pastors. I was asked by the organizers because of the reputation of this congregation in those areas. One thing I told the listeners about at this conference is how our congregation has been blessed with lengthy visitations by faithful pastors. 39 years, 38 years, and 30 years are the three longest pastorates here, and none less than 5 years. Last week, I came across in my research the 1918 volume of The Lutheran Witness. Believe it or not, it's been around that long, if not longer, in which volume was the obituary of our longest serving pastor, the Reverend Heinrich Johann Kott. Pastor Kott served here from 1879 until the day our Lord called him to his eternal rest because of cancer. He died on Sunday, the 28th of July, 1918. A week ago, Saturday, was the 100th anniversary of Pastor Kott's death. He was buried here in Terre Haute on the 31st of July. This reminds me, as a pastor and our vicars, you know, I'm here but for a time. One day, the Lord will send another. Our visitation on behalf of Christ is not forever. The time and the flock belong to him. Peter calls Jesus the shepherd and overseer of your souls, the pastor and visitor of your souls, you could re-say it, to whom we have returned in repentance and faith after straying like lost sheep. Peter also calls Jesus the chief shepherd, the chief pastor, for unlike all other overseers or visitors who are sent, Jesus' visitation never ends. The Father has sent his Son from an eternity for an eternal reign. Yet Jesus chooses a strange way in which to carry out his visitation. He does so as our servant. He comes not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as the ransom for many. He comes to visit in order to suffer for me, give himself to rescue me, die to save me and restore me, reconcile and set me free, to vanquish the dark fear and soothe the horrid anguish sinners ought to have over sin, death, and the power of the devil. This king and overseer and shepherd comes to us each week, forgiveness and eternal life in hand, given through his ministry of word and sacrament in his church. But if you do not know the time of Jesus' gracious visitation, that you are to be subject to him, to this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there will be no peace for you, now or in eternity. If you do not hear and heed his call to repent and believe the gospel, for his kingdom is at hand, you will find yourself surrounded by your enemies, the eternal ones, hemmed in and under siege, with no escape, with no help, no comfort from the presence of the living God, for he will not be there in that place. He will withdraw his gracious visitation, and he will allow the consequences of sin to go forth. The chief priests and scribes and foremost men of the people, the Sanhedrin, the religious elite of Jesus' day in Jerusalem, who ran the Herodian temple and the religious system that they had built up around it, these men did not know the time of their visitation. They thought they were overseeing things on God's behalf. They thought God had sent them to do his bidding, and they had set up quite a great scheme for themselves. But how does Jesus react to it? He says, "My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." According to the Jewish historian Josephus, by the time of Rome's destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, some 40 years after Jesus' prophecy, the leaders of the Jews in Jerusalem had amassed quite a loot of treasure in the temple storerooms, precious metals, coins, jewels, expensive vestments and clothes for all the priests made of fine fabrics in expensive royal purple. These money changers had been doing very well in their racket for many years, turning good profits on the backs of God's people. Josephus also records that there was also a Babylonian-made curtain hanging over the doors to the main temple sanctuary, embroidered with strange images of the universe and the 12 pagan signs of the zodiac. The Roman commander Titus took it all away. He cleaned out that loot before he burned the temple to the ground, not one stone left upon another. All the Levitical priests in the temple were slaughtered, as well as an estimated 1.1 million people in Jerusalem, all there for the Passover. The final date of the destruction of the temple was the 10th of August, 70 AD. Jesus laments this future fate of Jerusalem because false overseers, false shepherds, were ignoring the word of God. They led many astray. They did not believe or trust that God had been visiting them through the prophets and even with his own gracious presence among them in tabernacle and then temple, and then finally in his wondrous presence, the Son of God taking upon himself our human flesh in the Virgin Mary, a new temple not made with human hands. To not know this time of their gracious visitation from God was, as the Apostle Paul says, for the Jews to, quote, be ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Rank unbelief in the true and living God and his word has its consequences. If gangrene sets in to save the life of the patient, the limb in which the gangrene has invaded must be cut off. The old temple, made impure and diseased by paganism, idolatry, and lack of faith in God's gracious visitation for his people, had to be cut off. Jesus not only overturned and drove out the money changers, as we heard, the first step of the temple's ultimate doom, but he spent the days of Holy Week before his passion teaching continually in that temple the truth of his word, dispelling darkness, overturning the false preaching that was going on there. And many did listen, Luke says, hung on Jesus' every word. The cleansing of the temple is only this small part of our Lord's gracious visitation. It foreshadows a greater reality. There was not just a building in Jerusalem that had to be destroyed. The old Adam had to be crucified. The one who knew no sin, who became sin for us, who became the object of God's righteous wrath for your paganism, for your idolatry, for your unbelief and hard-heartedness, for your sin against God and neighbor. This had to be raised to the ground, dead and buried. And it was on Good Friday, for us men and for our salvation, the temple of our Lord's body was indeed destroyed to pay for our trespasses, so that on the third day, he would raise it to life again. That life would spring forth out of death, so that the great enemies of God's people would stand defeated forever. This living Lord and overseer of souls, both here in this place and around the world for two millennia, has sent the news of his gracious visitation for his people's salvation, having made peace with our Heavenly Father on our behalf, now our Lord sends visitors, pastors, to proclaim his good news to you, to baptize you in his name into this death and resurrection, to absolve you of your sins in his name, to feed you with his forgiving and life-renewing body and blood. To that end, today, our Lord gives us the privilege and joy of beginning to host our congregation's 29th vicar. We welcome young Simeon with glad hearts, knowing that by God's grace, he will one day be sent as part of our Lord's gracious visitation of his church. He'll be sent out there to one corner of the church somewhere, to a flock of faithful people of Christ, who, they don't even know it right now, will need a pastor, an overseer, a visitor, under orders from Christ. God grant you, Simeon, strength, wisdom, love, and diligence in your work among us this year. And God continue to grant all of us love for our fellow Christians, joy in our mission to provide a place for future visitors, future shepherds, to grow and learn this blessed vocation. And God grant us always to remember that now and forever is the time of our Lord Jesus and his visitation for us. Now is the day of salvation, and in which this time, for 160 years, he has sent to this congregation faithful men to shepherd his flock here. To the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to the chief shepherd and overseer of our souls, be all glory, power, and dominion now and forever. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.